Vignette number 77 from Zen is right here. Teaching stories and anecdotes of Shunryu Suzuki. Asked why there was a rule of silence during most meals, Suzuki Roshi answered, "You cannot eat and talk at the same time." That comes from me, DC, at Tassajara back in, it says 1968. I don't know. It could have been any time. This is one of my pet peeves, or this is something I really agree with, is being mainly silent during meals. I like to talk. I like to try to save the talking till after the meal. And then while you're eating, pay attention to the food. I'm sure, I know in other places on these podcasts I've said this, but, you know, it seems to me strange that that people would go to a lot of trouble to get really good food, and even like gourmet people and paying a lot of money for it, and then we'll sit there and talk and eat and not really, they'll notice occasional bites and they go, "Oh, this is good," you know, but then go back and your attention then is on the talking. And it's very hard for some people not to do it. That's why it's good to have a rule of silence for meals. But then it gets sort of stiff and uptight. And Drake and I are mainly, we talk. We have a little chatting while we eat some. But, there's a lot of silence and appreciating the food. And she is a really good cook and makes really good food. Also, meals are a time, it seems to me, when it's good for the emotions to be low, for you to be very calm when you eat and just eat. And the idea of mealtime is a good time for the family to get together and talk. I don't agree. I think, after the meal is a good time. For one thing, when families get together and talk, there's frequently emotions build up. Now, if you look at movies, meals are usually times to, they're just a setting, and frequently for something upsetting. So there'll be a bunch of people at a great meal, and then just terrible things will happen, and people will get extremely upset. "Oh, wow, that's great for digestion." And people will wait till a meal. It's just starting. You're just about to take your first bite, and then they announce something, like, really disturbing. Really, it's amazing to me. People don't have any idea of that. And I've been around a lot of gourmet people, and they're real chatty. Now, I'm a very chatty person, and a lot of times it's hard for me not to talk when I eat. Now, when I used to drink, when I was out, I wouldn't always drink with a meal, but, I really got into wine. And then really the wine was the most important thing and the meal was second. Actually, Once I started drinking, the talking was second, and the food was third. In the movies, the talking is the most important thing. They don't even pay much attention to the food, unless it's a movie about gourmets or something. Then they'll get up and leave half of it and leave drinks and everything, just completely, you know, because you're following the dialogue. It's not very normal behavior. People don't leave, only some people leave drinks. It tends to be women, and only some women. Really, I would see women at Greens, like order the most expensive Chardonnay and just take a sip out of it and leave the whole thing there. And I loved it when I was dishwasher. And seriously, a wine glass of Chardonnay would come back almost full. Well, let me tell you, I didn't throw that out. Now, for going on 17 years now, pretty soon, not a sip. Ha, ha, ha. And that's the best. But anyway, all right, look. Now, if you look at the Christian monastic tradition with food, it's not to enjoy it, it seems to me. Well, I'm sure there's some of them that do. There's a lot of them that do. But like, who was it, St. Francis, that would throw ashes on his food? Then other monks in other, you know, it depends on the order, and I don't know, you know, all the different trips that are going on. There's some monks that would read while they ate, so they would pay attention to the reading. So for those who purposely do not want to enjoy the meal, do not want to pay attention to it, do not want to descend into evil desire, they will be involved in language. There's some of them would have a monk assigned to read, say, from scripture during the meal, so you could focus on that while you ate and not on the food. Wow. So is the reason that people talk when they eat that they don't want to be descend into evil desire and join the food? And then you get like over in Asia, you would have all sorts of different trips going on there, you know. I mean, everything from extreme asceticism to a sort of, you know, there's a thing called Shojin Ryori in Japan, which is like vegetarian temple food. It's very fine gourmet vegetarian food served by temples. And oh, yeah, it's great. You could go to certain temples that specialize in it, and they charge for it too. Or if you were a guest, they could bring you out something really nice. God, when Katrinka and I were at Aheiji 7.5 years ago, for a couple of nights, wow, they treated us so well. It was really different from when I was there 30 years ago. Everything is different. They respected Americans and the books I'd written, and they showed me, you know, this book, the book I'm reading. Oh, yeah. The book I'm reading, it's right here. It just come out in Japanese, Zenwa Kokoima. Oh, Zenwa Ima Koko. And now I got hold of the publisher and said, hey, there's a sequel to this coming out. And so they got in touch with Shambhala, and they're gonna get one ready for it to come out. Well, I mean, the idea is to come out at the same time. We'll see what they actually do. But that's cool. Anyway. Wow, did they bring us good food in our room. Oh, we had a beautiful room. Oh, they treated us well. I mean, we paid, you know, it's about $40 a night. It was quite reasonable. But, you know, like, it was sort of sort of a type of shojin jirui. It was really good. Anyway, I have to make an effort to remember it sometime, because I start eating, it gives me energy. And I start thinking of things to say, you know. And then, but then it's real easy to just pay attention to the food and chew it and be relaxed. And, but so we knew that, you know, like when us good students of Suzuki's, that that it was our practice to be silent at meals. So, and of course we did that in the Zendo, but then we'd be out having lunch at a picnic table or maybe in a restaurant. And, you know, we'd just be all rigid and stiff and everything and quiet and trying to be good Zen students. And, you know, he'd be real relaxed there and everything, and he'd strike up a conversation. not just being gabby, but, just, well, you know, just to put everybody at ease, you know, because you got to do it right. If you're not going to talk in the meals, it has to be comfortable. So, you know, like we have a guest coming over tonight. Now, of course, when he comes in, I'm going to say, listen, there's a rule here. Absolute silence during meals and no dessert if you say anything. No, we'll see. Okay. This has been a Cuke Audio mini podcast. I'm DC Poobah of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Doggett Bandita, Feline Kuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka, wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.